This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
More from our panelists inside the roundtable at 5:45 this afternoon. Robert Benzie joins us from the Toronto Star, along with News Talk 1010 political analyst Scott Reid. I'm sure they'll both have lots to say. Right now, we'd like to welcome in for his regular Wednesday afternoon visit Toronto Mayor John Tory, who, just like you, I believe, was sitting and listening to Barack Obama speak. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, I was listening. I didn't hear it all because I had to get sort of out of the car and get to the phone, but I heard parts of it, and I sort of would concur in with what Amanda said, which is that I think he was trying to calm people, something that's very much needed in that country at this moment, given activities of others.
And is it? Do you think it's one of those things, too, where someone like President Barack Obama felt it was, you know, that he had no choice? Do you think it was one of those situations where people were coming to him and saying, you know, you really should speak to this? Or do you think it might come, and obviously it's speculation completely, or do you think he took it upon himself to meet with his, you know, Obama.org team and say, listen, we need to try and, you know, calm some fears out there. We need to try and talk to people because they're not getting the leadership that they need right now.
I think if you are a person like him that clearly was, whether he was born to public service or whether it kind of just became a part of who he was, that he would have felt that out of a duty to the country. You know, and I think he always struck me as a person who felt a profound sense of duty to the country, which many presidents, most, do. And I think he would have felt that compelled him to say something, especially given the degree to which on a lot of these issues he is a very credible person. There were people who liked or disliked him for his other policies, but I don't think they ever doubted the fact that he could speak from lived experience. He could, you know, speak in a very genuine sort of way about these things, and did again today. So I think it was more out of a sense of public service that you do this for your country, as former presidents often do, on, you know, on many different subjects. They are the ones that are the kind of, they're gone from politics, they can never run again. You know, even after a period of time, the ones that were controversial have a degree of respect accorded to them, and I think that's true certainly with him.
Mayor, I've been in rooms with you, right before you give these big speeches or these big remarks. And obviously, he's not a sitting elected official, but I think this was an important speech that he had to deliver today, important remarks. When you are preparing to go out there on that podium and you know, make a big announcement and really try and either harness the public, maybe around, the van attacks or the Danforth shooting, like, as a leader, what goes through your head and how do you prepare for that?
It, just to be genuine, you know me well enough, Amanda, to know that if I was being sort of pushed to say something that I didn't really believe in, I would say it, without a degree of comfort. I might have to say it because there was something that sort of had to be said, but if I was uncomfortable with it, and I think in his case, he was speaking from the heart. He was speaking from his lived experience. He was speaking consistently with what he's always said about these things, matters of race and matters of, hope for young people, which is a very important message to get across today, because boy, oh boy, if you were a young person living in America or Canada right now, I think in watching all of this, you would start to lose a sense of hope, even worse, I think, than from the pandemic. I mean, the pandemic, I think, has caused people to feel a sense of hopelessness some of the time, but this would be worse. And so I think, you know, your only fear when you go out to talk like that is that you can convey enough of what's in your heart to have people know that you genuinely feel that way, because let's face it, people are, skeptical about what politicians have to say. Do they really mean it? Does it really reflect what they think? And politicians, including myself, from time to time, I guess, have caused that to happen. I think former presidents, former mayors, former prime ministers have less of a problem with that because they're sort of deemed to be people who are out of it and therefore have nothing to lose. But I think that's all I was ever worried about, was that people knew that what I said was what I meant, and I would be very uncomfortable saying it if I didn't really mean it.
Now, I want to play a clip for you. This is clip 3, where he talks about policing solutions, and get your feedback on that.
Most of the reforms that are needed to prevent the type of violence and injustices that we've seen take place at the local level. Now, reform has to take place in more than 19,000 American municipalities, more than 18,000 local enforcement jurisdictions. And so, as activists and everyday citizens raise their voices, we need to be clear about where change is going to happen and how we can bring about that change. It is mayors and county executives that appoint most police chiefs and negotiate collective bargaining agreements with police unions.
So what he's saying there is effectively, it's, you know, a lot of the power in changing how policing is interacting with our young people and our racialized community and Black people is in the power of mayors. And I know you are a mayor, you sit on the police board. So when you hear that, and I know you've taken a really active role in some of these reforms, how do you think, does that apply to Toronto? And how do you think, how do you think you would employ that kind of tactic?
Well, he's definitely right, first of all. And secondly, we're actively engaged in this in Toronto, and we were well before the current round of tragedies and issues that have brought this to the fore again. And it consists of a whole bunch of things. I mean, if you look at the training we're doing today on how to deal with diversity and how to police in a way that is more sensitive to the existence of anti-Black racism in our community, I think people would be very impressed at how much more training we're doing now to make sure that sensitivity is ingrained in the officers. If you look at how we recruit to the service, including not just diverse recruitment from different backgrounds, but also the kind of testing that goes on. If you look at the focus on community policing, you know, people have been talking in the last number of days about the police budget. Well, a lot of the increase in the budget that is this year, which, by the way, the increase over my time as mayor has been 1.6% a year, so it's not like it's been, you know, growing like grass in the springtime, but the increase we're bringing about is for community policing. What's that all about? It's about having officers in neighborhoods for a minimum of 3 years so that they get to know the people get to know them. I've watched these community officers, and they're spoken to on a first-name basis by the kids in the neighborhood, and vice versa. And it is all about restoring trust, because we knew, I would acknowledge right here and now, that partly because of issues related to race and a bunch of other things, that trust in police had eroded. And you can't have that. You can't have them with the responsibility they have to keep us all safe and have people. I had a kid once tell me they were more afraid of when the police showed up when they were called than when they didn't show up, you know, and so you can't have that. And so we have to sort of, you know, work at that. And so I would say that the President Obama is right, and that's where the responsibility has been taken. Have we solved the problem yet? No. We have lots left to do, but I think we're making substantial progress, notwithstanding some of the setbacks that happen from time to time.
So, Mary, you're talking about stuff that you've done in the past, and I think we would acknowledge, especially the community policing initiatives have been great. But as you go to your next police board meeting, and as, you know, I think the world is really changing in the views around how police and community should interact, can we expect any changes or any announcements or anything that will be happening in Toronto?
Well, I think what you'll see that will be relevant to events of the last number of days, not necessarily directly related to the issue of race and so on, is that we'll be speeding up to the maximum extent possible the acquisition of the body-worn cameras. I think the chief and myself both want to see that brought forward even faster than it would have been, so that we could have those body-worn cameras on police officers. And that has more to do with accountability than some of these issues to do with how police interact with different communities. I can only tell you that I had a meeting this afternoon with our Confronting Anti-Black Racism Unit, the first of its kind in North America, the only place in North America that has one in the city government, put there, you know, at my instigation. And we talked about other things we can do, including some with the police, but other things we can do as well in terms of the collection of data and things like that. And so I think you'll see over the coming days, we were talking today about a substantive response we could offer to show that we get the fact that there still is anti-Black racism in Toronto. I've acknowledged that many times, and that acknowledgement is just the beginning, because then you have to act on it. So I think you'll see a number of things that will happen, but we've got to carry on and stay the course with our training, with the community policing, and with the way in which we recruit, with the diversity of our recruiting. Those are things that are building blocks to restoring trust, as well as, in particular, this community policing initiative.
Toronto Mayor John Tory will join us again on Friday afternoon at 5:35. Thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for hanging out a little bit later than normal.
Nice
today.
To talk to you both. No problem at all. Bye-bye now.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.